From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstorm on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wondergadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondergadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Scove, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pope Jude, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you with us along for the next 2 hours of what promises to be a very busy program yet again here on this Saturday morning. And why not? The eyes of the racing world focused on that road to the Kentucky Derby, as are we. We're going to continue to take you down that road as we edge ever closer to the first Saturday in May. 56 days, 9 hours, 48 minutes, and 3 seconds until the run for the Roses. And trust me, it will be here before we know it, and a lot to be decided between now and then. Saw a really good performance by Code of Honor last week, and some people thinking, Jude, maybe even a better performance by Bourbon War, who was the runner-up, but man, was he closing fast.
Yeah, Bourbon War ran a really good race, and happy for Mark Hennig, who's kind of had a rough go down at Gulfstream, but he's starting to win races in bunches, and that horse really, he ran a winning race.
Yeah.
He just didn't win. And congratulations to Shug. Code of Honor rebounded in a big way. Shug's always had tremendous confidence in this horse and been very patient with him, and it paid off. So, that was a tremendous race all the way around, and a lot of people keeping an eye on those horses now.
Maybe a rematch coming up in the Florida Derby on March 30th at Gulfstream Park, and that would be fun to see. We'll be there to bring you that exclusive coverage, by the way, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Both horses ran a tremendous race, and I think most people will have their eye on Bourbon War now, looking at the longer distances, just because of the way he closed. But look, I mean, Code of Honor is going to continue to improve too. So Bourbon War is going to have to continue his development and have to continue to show that he can keep stepping up and running these big races.
Yeah, well, the short stretch, you know, might have hindered him a little bit too.
Yeah.
So that's another factor to look at. There's so many little things that occur during races, and one inside or outside move by a jockey can make a big difference.
What'd you make of the situation with the favorite Hidden Scroll in there, getting up on those hot fractions? And people were upset afterwards. I saw a lot of social media posts about the rabbit, so to speak, that wasn't a rabbit for anybody, the Jaime Mejia horse that was in there with no shot, really. To me, that's racing, right? That's racing.
Yeah.
You can enter a horse in these races. Maybe he didn't belong, but you know, Joel Rosario and Hidden Scroll, he's got to find a way to get him to relax a little bit. And apparently, not that it was Joel's fault necessarily, but the horse just didn't relax the way he wanted him to, and he didn't sit off that hot pace.
Well, this is what happens when you have a horse break his maiden wire to wire on a speed favoring track in the slop and then, you know, go into grade two. I mean, you cannot think that you're going to have a great chance making that big of a class jump. Plus, Anthony and I got in a fight about it on the air yesterday, you know, to say Jaime Mejia's horse, you know, didn't belong in there and whatever. Well, that's a very flimsy argument.
Very flimsy.
We saw Jaywalk get beat by a 50-1 shot, right?
That
who had broken
shocker.
Her maiden. You know, when you go back and you look, and this is something that I always tell people to do look at the results after every race and see what you missed, or even if it's not a matter of missing, because nobody was going to pick that horse against Jaywalk probably. Mm-hmm. But when you look at her form wasn't that bad. She never finished off the board. She only got beat a few lengths the time before. You know, if Jaywalk was going to get beat, if I told you before the race Jaywalk's going to get beat, you might have bet a couple of bucks on that horse at 50-1.
Yep.
She wasn't an impossible horse. You know, and that's why they run the races. If we just handicapped and then they handed the check to the person you put on top. I mean, you know.
I think it's not as shocking that that horse won the race. It's more shocking that Jaywalk didn't win the race.
Right.
Because she laid over that field. Really did. On paper, she laid over that field.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she was a champion.
Yep.
But nobody really talked about that. All they talked about was the maiden that got beaten a grade two.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't understand sometimes the way people think. I mean, any horse can get beat. We've seen it time and time again. We've seen some of the greatest horses of all time get beat. So, I mean, you got to know going in, it's not going to be a walkover.
Yeah, if you're going to catch a horse like that and beat a horse like that, the time to do it is probably right off of a long layoff that, right? I mean, that's not the ultimate goal.
Right.
Service was on the program with us last week.
He loved said her. That.
Yeah, he loved her, but he said this is not the goal is the Kentucky Oaks. That's what we have our eye on the first Friday in May. That wasn't the ultimate goal. If you're going to catch her and you're going to beat her, that was the time to do it, and they did it. But that three of them beat her? That's that's a head scratcher.
Yeah, you don't expect her to run fourth. But, you know, I guess in the overall, if you look at the big picture, you know, the jock knows she's getting beat, and he knows they're planning for the Oaks.
Yep.
He's not going to, like, try to be third. I mean, it's not necessary that he do that. You know, he's going to take care of the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
live
just
to fight another day.
Yeah, that's just the way it goes. And, you know, there's people that, you know, oh, he should have, you know, tried to be part of the trifecta or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the way people think, but I think if they sat down and took a deep breath and looked at the big picture and pretended that they owned the horse, you know, would you want your jock flailing away to be third in a race that you know, in the overall scheme of things, wasn't going to move the horse forward?
Right. And there will be, I mean, and we're not suggesting that he wasn't riding to be third, right? We're not saying that, but I understand what you're saying. You're saying wrapping up the horse, because you start saying that he wasn't riding to be third, and all of a sudden somebody who bet the trifecta and had that horse in there and needed that horse to be third is up in arms,
yeah,
right?
Well,
that's not the case.
Arms,
we're not suggesting that.
But that's the game. That's part of the game, and you have to know that going in, and you have to understand that you know, the horse comes first, and that's just the way it's going to be. And you know, if you get beat, you get beat. I mean, how many losing bets have people made? they should know that they can lose. It's not cut and dry like everybody thinks. Everybody wants black and white all the time, and it's not going
to
happen.
Well, the road to the Kentucky Derby is in full swing later this afternoon. You have three Derby preps in light of what was supposed to be four with the San Felipe at Santa Anita. We're going to talk about that situation here in just a second. But you have the Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway Park, just north of us in northern Kentucky. You have the Gotham Stakes at Aqueduct, and you have the Tampa Bay Derby in Tampa. So some good horses going to the post in those three races, and maybe the Derby winner racing this afternoon. Who knows? We'll find out on the first Saturday in May. But that's the way the Derby picture shapes up for this afternoon. Now, real quick, we have to get to a break in about 2 minutes, JT, but we're going to talk more about this situation at Santa Anita as we move throughout the program. Obviously, racing canceled, suspended, however you want to look at it, indefinitely as they start working on that racetrack, a racetrack that really has not been a safe racetrack, to say the very least, with all the different horse deaths and everything that have taken place over the course of the past couple of months. They're going to work on it. They're going to get it right. But who knows when racing is going to resume. And that throws a kink into the plans of not just the Derby contenders and the Oaks contenders that are prepping there, but all of the horses based on the West Coast. I mean, you're kind of on an island out there. What do you do?
Well, it's a tough situation. I've talked to a few of the trainers, and I even offered to go to bat for one of the trainers to get him some stalls at Churchill Downs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just, I don't know what exactly is going on out there. I mean, you know, some trainers have trained all along, and some train lighter than others. And, you know, I don't know if it's really the surface or if it's other conditions. I mean, there's a million things that could be going wrong. But everybody always points to the track, right?
Yeah.
And we'll see. I mean, they went over the track. They said it was fine. A couple more horses got hurt. I mean, it could be just a small sample of, you know, just a situation that's occurred. So, you know, tracks are very dynamic. They're up and down. And of course, with the weather.
I think all that rain, too. There has been unprecedented rain in the Southern California area.
But it's easy to say, oh, you know, it was a rain or it's this or it's that.
I don't know if anybody truly knows. That's why they're doing the studies, right?
That's why I think it could be a long time before they figure it out.
Because
Nobody knows for sure. And you're only talking about, you know, a very small period of time. So right away, the weather would be the thing because the weather's been horrible. It's been horrible everywhere there. It's been horrible all over the United States. We've lost like 500 turf races in the last year. It's insane.
Yeah.
So
and look, I mean, they'll be back. They'll get things where they need to be. It's just a matter of how long that takes and the uncertainty surrounding Santa Anita right now, right? And if you're the Breeders' Cup and you're sitting there looking at your event that first weekend in November that's supposed to be run at the Great Race Place, how long do you wait and how many months do you give this before you have to make a call and shift venues if they decide to go that direction? I assume they have to make that call relatively soon.
Yeah, I would think so. I would, because there has to be plans made and, you know, contracts signed and all kinds of things that go into that. So, it puts a lot of people in a very tenuous situation. But, you know, the horses always come first. And that's what we're trying to get taken care of right now. And we'll see what happens. I mean, it wouldn't be the end of the world if they had to move the Breeders' Cup. And there's obviously places they could move it to. But, you know, everybody in racing seems to be pulling together and wants this situation solved. So
we're going to talk with Mike Willman, who is the director of publicity at Santa Anita. He'll fill us in, give us an updated report on where things stand currently and where we could see things going over the next few weeks. Mike's going to join us toward the end of the program at 9:40 Eastern. But coming up after our first commercial break, we will talk about the huge card taking place this afternoon at Aqueduct. We'll do that with Maggie Wolfendale-Morley, of course, the Naira Paddock analyst and now working for Fox Sports as well as part of their television presentation. We'll get a chance to catch up with Maggie here in just a few minutes. Then our Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence comes up at 8:35 Eastern. We'll focus on the stallions up in Maryland today at Country Life Farm. We'll do that with Mike Pons from Country Life. Again, 8:35, the time for that segment. Harvey Diamond from Sky High Racing, he'll be with us at 9 o'clock to talk about the favorite in today's Jeff Ruby Stakes. That is Some Like It Hot Brown. Yeah, all one word. The son of Big Brown going to the post is one of the horses to beat in that particular race. And trainer Mike Trombetta with us at 9:22 Eastern to talk about his exciting 3-year-old Win. Who will race in the Tampa Bay Derby, and he'll be one of the favorites in there, too. So a lot of things coming your way over the next 2 hours. Quick poll question. I'll throw it out there, and you can go to our Twitter feed, at HRN and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, to cast your vote. But if you could own one Kentucky Derby prospect at this point, you can own one Kentucky Derby prospect. Which one is it going to be? Which horse? Is it going to be War of Will, Code of Honor, Game Winner? Those are the top three in the point standings right now. Or is there somebody else? The fourth category will be other. And if you choose that one, please specify which horse you would own. You can only own one. Which one is it going to be? War of Will, Code of Honor, Game Winner, or other? And if you choose other, please let us know who you think is the horse that you would like to have most of all as we make our way down the road to the Kentucky Derby. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and visit with Maggie Wolfendale-Morley. She's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Adina Spring Stallion, point of entry.
As they come down to the finish, point of entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes point of entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since theatrical to win the New York Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
It is point of entry in front. Treasure Beach can't stay with him. Kindergarten Kid comes down the inside from third, and they're coming down to the finish. And point of entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Now, with winners in eight countries on all surfaces, up to 10 furlongs, including the sensational multi-graded stakes winner, Analyze It, in his first crop, and stakes winner and Grade 1 placed My Gal Betty from his second crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud. I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Secretariat on the rail, Champagne Charlie on the outside, an eighth of a mile to the finish. Secretariat on the inside in front by half a length. Champagne Charlie second, 70 yards to the finish. It's Secretariat now in front.
That was Dave Johnson with the call of the 1973 Gotham Stakes and Secretariat. We know what he would go on to do in his brilliant career, but he got the victory that day. He is the only horse ever to compete in the Gotham and go on and win the Kentucky Derby. Believe it or not, the only one. Well, later today, eight horses will attempt to become number two. Well, at least they'll do that on the first Saturday of May, but they got to get past the Gotham first. And then first Saturday of May, they will attempt to be the second horse ever to compete in the Gotham and then win the Kentucky Derby. Mike Penn and Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, and joined now by Maggie Wolfendale Morley, who, of course, you can catch her on the NYRA television feed throughout much of the year as she does a phenomenal job with her analysis from the paddock and now working with Fox Sports as part of their television coverage as well. Maggie, welcome to the program. Happy to have you on board. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. So pleased to be with you all.
So, yes, I mean, Instagram looks like he could be the one that maybe, if anybody's going to become the second horse ever to pull off that double of winning the Gotham and the Derby, maybe it's Instagram. He's a heavy favorite this afternoon in that Gotham.
Well, it's funny you kind of lead off our conversation with that, because I was just thinking before I came on with you guys that I really don't think we're going to see a Kentucky Derby winner coming out of this field. It just feels like a race where it's a good race as it is, as an individual, but I don't think it's a real stepping stone, being that it's at a mile, at a one-turn mile, with a bunch of horses who I think have a lot of distance limitations, mainly Instagram. We haven't seen them since mid-August. Larry Best choosing to put him away for the year after going, you know, 2 for 2 and winning by 10 plus lengths. But who did he beat? None of those horses have turned out to be any good. Watching his works, I like what I see, but I like what I see for more of a maybe a one-turn mile or even more of a sprinter. So he's also going to have to face a lot of other speed horses, especially to his inside. And the inside paddocks have been very, very kind to horses here at Aqueduct.
All right, so let's cut to the chase then, Maggie. You don't think he wins this race today?
I think he could be upset. I really think he could be upset today.
Yeah, there's so much speed in here that you got to think Hi-Cal is poised to run another big race.
He's the one who benefits, Jude. I mean, he has been good in all of his efforts. I mean, just narrowly defeated in his first effort and then gone on to win two, including the Jimmy Wingfield. I will say that he had an advantageous trip last time out. He rode the rail. The rail was very, very strong that day. He luckily got through. I mean, I think Tekhyven Flew is the other horse who comes out of that race, probably had the much more taxing trip. I mean, he was chasing 3 wide the entire way up on that pace. I mean, yes, Jovia did hang around, finish second, but still, he was on the inside, and Kevin Flew just had the worst of it, I think. And if anything, he's the one looking at these horses. I think he'll like getting the extra furlong.
Yeah, by street sense, out of a deputy minister mare, he's certainly bred to stretch out and handle a little bit longer distance than what he's going to face even today in that one-mile test. And this will be the furthest that he has had to race in his young career. And he's owned in part by our good friend Jeff Bloom and Bloom Racing. So we'll wish him good luck with Tekhyven Flew later this afternoon and see if he can pull off a little bit of an upset, 12-1 on the morning line. Maggie, it's not just about the Gotham at Aqueduct this afternoon, though. That card is really, really strong, as you would expect.
It really is. I mean, the Busher, which is our last race, which will be included on our Fox Sports show as well, 4-7 today. And, I mean, this one is filled with fillies that are just kind of looking to step out of the kind of mid-level ranks, if you will, and taking that next step forward. Billy Joel, she's been consistent, but I think the big story, obviously, is Please Flatter Me coming back from Mark Reed, Mid-Atlantic shipper up here to New York today. She's 3 for 3 in her life. She's defeated Ujjayi in both of their last two meetings, and then Ujjayi came back and won the Ruthless up here at Aqueduct. So it's a good matchup. Even the New York bred, I don't think, can be discredited in here, including a big price in Shelly Ann and Espresso Shot for Jorge Abreu. She's really taken to the dirt, and I've been impressed with her last couple efforts.
Yeah, her last two starts were both excellent, and all of her dirt races, really. Who knew?
I know. also, Oxy Lady. I mean, her best race came here at Aqueduct. She ran a 94 in winning the Tempted. Yes, she got a wicked pace to close into that day, and she was a big upsetter. But I thought she kind of had a little bit of an excuse in her last race with Rachel Alexandra. That was wired by Serengeti Empress down here on a track down in Fairgrounds that looked like it was you had to be 1, 2, 3 the entire way around there, and she was second to last down the backside. I think I'm willing to forgive her. It was her first race back in a little while of this year as a 3-year-old, so she might be a bit of a price horse that gets Javier Castellano today.
Visiting with Maggie Wolfendale-Morley here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, the Fox Sports coverage coming up this afternoon, 4-7, and you will hear that, Gotham. You're well, hear it. You'll hear it and you'll watch it. The Gotham and, of course, the Busher Stakes as well for the three-year-old fillies and those Kentucky Oaks hopefuls going to the post in there. Maggie, you mentioned that you didn't really see any horse coming out of the Gotham that was going to be a legitimate Kentucky Derby contender, at least to win the Kentucky Derby. How about with the Busher? Can we see a Kentucky Oaks winner come out of that race?
I honestly think we could. I think there's some fillies in here, as opposed to the Gotham, just kind of as a whole, looking at both these races, that there's some fillies that really kind of want to go the distance of ground, that are crying out for it. We'll see if the morning line favorite, Please Flatter Me, is capable of doing so. She's obviously had speed. She hasn't been beyond seven for long, but she was running away from them. She is by Munnings. That's not necessarily screaming two-turn route horse, but then again, we'll see what she can pull off here. But I kind of do. Like I said, this is a race that a lot of these horses are searching to take that next step forward, and I think we could see one of them do so.
Which three-year-old has caught your eye most to this point in the season?
You know, a lot of people are overlooking the horse from the fairgrounds, War of Will. He's done absolutely nothing wrong. We'll see how he performs in the Louisiana Derby, but we've kind of seen some disappointments and some upsetters along the way in the other Derby preps. Bob Baffert, obviously, he always holds a strong hand, but what are we going to do? Unfortunately, with the situation out at Santa Anita, he'll probably bring most of them to Oaklawn. There hasn't been anybody really that really grabbed me per se, but I like the consistency of War of Will.
Yeah, he's done nothing wrong. And you know, Mark Cassie, he's not a guy that shoots his mouth off or gets overly excited. No. He's usually the exact opposite. He half the time he sounds like he's asleep. He's just relaxed. And, you know, this horse has him all fired up. And that's what got me early on with this horse, is how fired up Mark is about, oh, we call him Wow and all this stuff. And it's not really Mark-like, you know. I'm going, this horse must be the next coming, because Mark's like so excited. And he's lived up to the hype. I mean, he is a nice horse, I think. I think you're right. A lot of people are missing that. And I don't know if that's because, you know, he's down at fairgrounds and maybe not in this big spotlight, you know, not California, not New York, not Florida. But yeah, he's pretty cool. He's definitely cool.
He is. And Jude, he is the right physical. He's not too much of a heavy horse, but he has that ranginess, that scopiness. And I like the fact he's not a heavy type of horse. I think that, you know, lends itself to a bit more longevity in horses. And I mean, he's caught my eye every single time he steps foot on the track. So I think War of Will, he'll be the kind of underdog, if you will, the dark horse kind of flying into the Derby if you know, everything goes right and he makes it there.
When they catch your eye, that's worth it, because you have one of the best I've ever seen. You're great in the paddock, and when you say you like the horse's looks, that's time for me to go to the window.
Well, dude, that's extremely flattering from you. Thank you.
Well, you do such a great job. But before we leave the Busher, I wanted to ask you about Always Shopping. I thought it was very un-Todd-like to run a maiden in the stakes. He doesn't do that very often. Do you think she's got a shot?
He Todded me. Because I did not like her at all last time. I was so against her. I couldn't believe they made her the favorite. She's going to have to do it again for me to jump on board with her. Again, she ran well. I'm not going to discredit her Busanda effort. She ran well, but and I don't know. You know, on paper, this race doesn't say it's any deeper than what the Busanda was. It, on face value, it's kind of the same.
Right.
She beat Philly Joel last time, fair and square. Like I said, she's going to have to do it from the outside post. Maybe she gets enough pace to close into here. And is she as effective going one turn as opposed to the two turns? I kind of think that two turns helped her out last time.
Yeah, and let's just specify, they're not a maiden racing today in the Busher. She was a maiden going into the Busanda last time out and won that race. And as Maggie said, as the favorite. How about that name, Philly Joel? Great name.
Isn't it great?
Great name. Yeah, excellent. Well done.
And Larry Coleman certainly has his fun with it all the time.
I'm sure he does. Maggie Wolfendale Morley here on HRRN. Maggie, real quick before we let you go, fill people in on what they can expect when they tune into that Fox Sports coverage later this afternoon from 4 to 7.
We are covering all racing from coast to coast. We have Oaklawn, we have Turfway, we have Florida. Anything you want as far as the big racing comes on a Saturday, it's going to be covered on this Fox Sports 2 show Saturday at the races.
All right, there you go. Make sure you tune in and watch Maggie and her analysis and the entire team. They do a great job. Maggie, appreciate the visit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to get a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, so we'll take care of you on that front. And enjoy the races today, and we'll look forward to catching up soon.
Guys, best of luck today. Always love chatting with you.
All right. Philly Morley. How about that?
Yeah.
Philly Wolfendale Morley.
There you go.
We have to hyphenate it.
And her husband, Tom Fool.
Well played. Well played, Pontiff. All right. Time now for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. Had a chance to talk with the godfather at the Lexus store this week. They're doing well, and they are horse people. We talked about horses, if you're wondering. If you want to head out there and look at the pre-owned vehicles, you want to look at the new Lexus, you can't do any better than the Lexus store of Lexington. Go see them, talk some horses, test drive a new Lexus. Trust me, you'll be driving off the lot with one. They are absolutely spectacular. It's your Lexus Legends of the Turf when we come back. Your Stallion Spotlight presented by Red Brand Fence. Stay with us.
For want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, a race was lost. This is the story of the tragic demise of a thoroughbred who was thought by some to have been the greatest horse ever to don a set of racing plates. He raced in the colors of Darby Dan Farm and was trained by Lloyd Gentry. He was the son of Rebo out of Flower Bowl by Alibi, and by late April of his three-year-old campaign had become the solid choice for the Kentucky Derby. He was a big, rock-solid colt who had muscles that literally rippled with raw power. In terms of conformation, he was some kind of a thoroughbred specimen. He won his first seven races by an average margin of 5.5 lengths and never had a rival finish closer than 4 lengths to him. Incredible! He'd never gone over 7/8 of a mile in any of his wins until the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland on April 28, 1966. In that race, he was beaten a bare nostril by the very good Abe's Hope, but, as it turned out, that was his greatest performance of an abbreviated career, which in fact ended with that race. He had run the final 5 furlongs of that race on a sloppy racetrack on what amounted to 3 legs and a mountain of courage. That story well worth recounting. He had been reshod April 21st, 1 week before the Bluegrass, after he had been plated by one farrier. Another put a new bar shoe on his left hind foot, which he had bruised in Florida. It appeared he might be carrying that foot a bit high on Sunday, April 24th, when he worked a mile in 140, and his stride was a measured one. Veteran horsemen well know that when a horse goes bad behind, it usually means trouble up front somewhere down the line. On April 27th, the morning before the Bluegrass, he worked 3/8 and 33-4 on a sloppy track. To the careful observer, it was apparent he was off a bit in his left front as he trotted back to the barn to be cooled out. In the Bluegrass the next afternoon, he broke like a cannon shot and was 6 in front going around the clubhouse turn. At just about the 5/8 pole, he took a noticeably bad step, almost stopping in midair, as a matter of fact, and from that point on, he continued on nothing more than sheer, pure, raw courage. You see, at that point of the misstep, he had fractured the wing of the coffin bone in his left forefoot, as it was discovered later. Braulio Baeza, the cool Panamanian who rode him in 6 of his 7 wins, said, quote, "He went around the turn fairly good, but as soon as he got into the straightaway on the backside, he tried to run out, which, in fact, hurt or sore horses are prone to do. Quote, "I tapped him on the shoulder a couple of times, trying to keep him straight, but he tried to get out all the way down the backside, and he was still trying to get out after the race," unquote. In that race, he galloped out a mile and a quarter in 2:03.2. On Sunday, May 1st, 6 days before the Kentucky Derby, the fracture showed up in x-rays. And not only was he subsequently withdrawn from the run for the Roses, but his racing career was at an end. That marvelous thoroughbred, who later went on to outstanding seasons of production in the breeding shed, and who was, in some observers' eyes, the very best to ever grace American racetracks, was Graustark. His story is indeed a tragic yet memorable moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm, Bet on Red, Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be Too Close to Call!
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
Power. Carrick Gondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News of Canarias, is fighting back. Carrick Gondi has won.
Passion.
All the way towards the line. It's Carrick Gondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrick Gondi with a rush on the outside. Goes by him. Late run from Adam Dahl. Carrick Gondi and O'Dahl. Carrick Gondi.
Carrick Gondi, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesk as his third dam. Carrick Gondi recorded three Grade 1 victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Carrick Gondi recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 132 and 4 fifths. First crop yearlings by Carrick Gondi sold for up to $220,000, with seven yearlings bringing over $100,000. Look for his two-year-old selling at the OBS March sale and Goff's Doncaster. Carrick Gondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Frisian Fire sweeps the three-year-old series at the fairgrounds. Frisian Fire in 143-2.
Mosler found a seam through and has taken the lead in deep stretch. And it is Mosler on to victory in the Elusive Quality Stakes.
Divining Rod is moving on for the finish. Divining Rod and Julian Leperoux, convincing winner of the Coolmore Lexington Stakes.
But this was a runaway. Super 99 trounces them. Wow.
And off track today, he took off and he is airborne. And Freedom Child was absolutely magnificent. He wins the Peter Pan by 12.
Yeah, that Stallion Montage of the Country Life Stallions in Maryland, and boy, have they been good. And they were good on the racetrack, continuing that trend as Stallions now. Frisian Fire, Mosler, Super 99, Divining Rod, Freedom Child. Their roster there is rock solid. We had the privilege, Anthony Stabile and I, last year before the Maryland Million, to host a program from the front porch of the office, the old house that is there at Country Life Farm. And let me tell you, one of the really neat things that I've had the privilege to do over the years here on radio. It was great. The folks there are tremendous, and we get the chance now to visit with one of those. That is Mike Pons. He and his brother Josh, the principals of Country Life in Maryland, and Mike with us now. Mike, good morning. Happy to have you on board.
Oh, I'm pleased to be with you guys.
Yeah, boy, I was just going through some of the stallions and just mentioning their names, but we heard a little montage as we were getting you on the phone of some of their highlights from their racing career, and so many memories associated with the stallion roster at Country Life.
Oh, it's fun. My grandfather, you know, 1933, started this great Maryland tradition. Here we are 86 years later, this long relay race, if you will, and the baton's been handed to Josh and me, and it's really been fun these last couple decades, running like hell with it. You know, Malibu Moon started here and had 4 years before he went to Kentucky, and before that we had Allen's Prospect, who was Maryland's leading sire six or seven times, and Carnivale, who was like a poor man's Danzig with three graded stakes winners in his first crop, and now we've got, you know, a couple young stallions who we think could be any kind. Frisian Fire, there were a bunch of offers from Kentucky for him last summer, but we just decided to keep him here. He's currently Maryland's leading sire and the only Maryland sire or Mid-Atlantic sire with a son at stud in Kentucky. He's got Army Mule down there who was lightning fast, unbeaten in three starts, kind of like a Danzig profile going to stud. And it's fun. And then my two young guns, Mosler, my Warfront, the Claiborne bred, he's got first crop yearlings. He's going to open some eyes this year. I bet he's got a six-figure yearling in that group somewhere between summer sales, you know, in Kentucky and Keeneland and then Maryland. So, and then Divining Rod, who's got an unbelievable resume. The Tappet son, whose first crop are being born this spring. So anyway, I'm excited for the future.
Yeah, it's a really nice group of stallions, and you talked about Army Mule, who seems to be on everybody's lips now. He was such a racehorse, and that's got to be super exciting for you to have his sire standing. And then Divining Rod, a beautiful individual who had a lot of talent, and he could be any kind of sire.
Oh, I think so. And what's really nice is that Divining Rod is getting the mares that help make stallions. Earlier this week, we bred a mare named Pussycat Doll, who was a grade one winner. And Roy and Gretchen Jackson, 10 years ago, spent $2.3 million for her. You know, now she's sweet 16, but she's still in great shape. And, you know, it's mares that make the stallions. I almost have to whisper it when I say that, but they're more than half the equation. And so it's great. And last year they bred a mare that had won stakes at Keeneland. She would have had to bring $500,000 going through the ring down there. Another filly came from Fair Hill, got bred, and then she won three races, including the stake. So the kid, Christy Holden, the general manager, was teasing that Divining Rod's already got his first winner. So, anyway, we laugh about all that, but it's really fun. Gainesway, our strategic partner with the Jacksons, they're pledged to breed 10 mares a year these first 4 years, and last night they had a very good colt out of a mare named Splashtacular that apparently Tom Durkin used that name in a muddy finale race of his career at Saratoga. So anyway, it's fun when these kind of mares, you know, you got such a great opportunity when you start off. It's like you start off on second base, you know, with these kind of mares. It's really wonderful to have the support of really good partners and clients.
I'm talking with Mike Pons of Country Life Farm in Maryland and going through the stallion roster, your stallion spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, the one horse that I'm super excited about is Super 99. He's coming back after kind of losing last year due to that hind leg suspensory injury, and I got a chance to see him when we were there before the Maryland Million, and boy, does he look good.
Oh, he's like Jerry Rice with four legs. I mean, just lightning fast and handsome, and I just can't wait until he gets a Roman candle like himself. You know, he's so fast. You know, he beat Shaken Up his first time out of the box, and you know, Baffert loved this horse. He had him ready for the Breeders' Cup, and night before the race, he gets cast in a stall, and he's a late scratch. Then he goes to Oaklawn and wins the Southwest Stakes by 11.5 in the mud. So very talented. And Spendthrift, you know, Mr. Hughes has been such a great partner with Malibu Moon and with Super 99 and Freedom Child, who's also here. It's great to have partners like that because they open doors that I just don't have the keys that work. You know, these guys just get those jobs done. So I'm excited about him, especially, you know, a son of Tappet, lightning fast. I mean, by pulpit, rather lightning fast and handsome. And we're seeing a bunch of sort of mini-me's, babies that look a lot like him. And, you know, at the end of the day, they got to do it just like everybody else. They got to run like hell.
Well, Maryland has such a rich history of racing, and everybody that participates is very loyal to the state. So you've got a kind of an inside track with the great roster that you have to get some of those good, solid Maryland mares that have been producing for years and years.
Yeah, the mares around here may be different than some of the, you know, the blue-blooded mares in Kentucky. Around here, we got to do it the old-fashioned way. You know, the mares that we really like are the $100,000, $200,000 hard, you know, they did the hard way. Multiple starts, several wins, different types of conditions. And, you know, the kind of, you know, an athlete gets an athlete. And I've never had any luck with kind of the well-bred China dolls. You know, I've always liked the mares that they could run. Their babies are probably going to run as well. Years ago, there was an Allen's Prospect mare named Prospective Joy. And she was lightning fast. Won her first start by 14, her second start by 10, her third start by 12. And we took her and bred her to a horse named City Dancer, who was really, really fast. And he's the horse in my mind that Super 99 brings fond memories. Anyway, City Dancer won his first three starts, wire to wire by 36 lengths. So we take our fastest mare, breed her to our fastest stallion. There's not a lot of science there. And out pops Hooked on a Feeling. And, oh, my God, we could barely catch her in the stall. I mean, she was so quick. It was Mike Pegram's first grade one winner, and Baffert trained. And, you know, then she became the dam of Pussycat Doll, who, you know, it's kind of funny. It's all coming around again. And we have members. We have a few fillies out of that family still. So it's kind of fun when we have this little reunion when the stars come in to see the other kin. But it's fun when you can hit a little vein of gold and start mining it. And that's really what we try to do with these mares and stallions, is find out the depth of their ability, their prepotency, and see what we can do to, you know, make it so the whole world can see what we see.
Mike, I can't remember if I asked you this question or not when we were sitting on the porch together doing this show together back in October. But if you were to sum up or put into words the philosophy and the approach that you and your brother have to this business at Country Life, how would you do it?
Well, it's interesting. I'll give you a roundabout answer. You know, we had tremendous coaching. You know, my dad and my Uncle John and my grandfather prior to them, you know, so much knowledge about horses and probably more importantly about people, you know, because the horse business is really a people business. And that's been very important. You know, my grandfather worked for, you know, you name it, Vanderbilt, the Belmonts, the Harriman, you know, all the New York Blue Bloods, and kept those clients over the years. And we've learned some of those skills from my grandfather. My dad, we had many of their old clients, you know, until they, you know, either passed away or got out of the business. And it was fun to be given that responsibility, you know, at a relatively young age. I think you have to sort of treasure the opportunities you get. You know, and people entrust you with their horses and their money and their time. And, you know, we've got to hit the ground running and do as honest a hard work and job for those folks as we can. So at the end of the day, it's fun that, like Mr. Hughes, he doesn't doubt that we're out there getting on our bellies, hitting it, you know, really. But the old football coach, leave it all out on the field. And I think that's one thing that, you know, both Josh and I do, and the staff here is unbelievable. You know, I think we probably have as good a farm staff, certainly in this region, and some of the folks could be anywhere, but they like Maryland. They prefer to live here than in Kentucky. But it's fun when we can put people in certain positions where they star or excel at and just stand back and get out of the way, just facilitate, you know, what they're able to do. It's fun because it's a giant tug of war. And we're pulling in there against teams bigger and stronger and more adept, but yet we're, you know, getting some points on the board, and that's what it's all about. It's fun, this game, because there's a lot of ways to keep score. I mean, there's profit and loss. There's champions, number of stakes winners, you know, longevity of clients and the service you have to the people and what you give back to your industry and to your state and community. And, you know, those are things that we think about all the time. You know, is the game better for our participation? You know, do we do everything we could to preserve this whole farm homestead here? You know, so many things, themes that run through. And those of you who have read Josh's diary, Country Life Farm Diary, Maryland Diary, and now the Rockland Farm series he's doing for the Blood Horse is fascinating. He's found all these boxes in my grandfather's office in the basement that virtually, it's like a time capsule, untouched. And he pulls them open, and my grandfather was trained as a mail secretary years ago, you know, 100 years ago. Basically, young men and wherever were secretaries in offices, it wasn't a lot of gals like it is today. It was a lot different era. So he knew shorthand and dictation and filing. And so it's fascinating to go through these things and the letters to, you know, you name them. There's correspondences, John Madden and, of course, Mr. Belmont and all these folks in Kentucky and the East Coast. And, you know, you read that, you step back, and you go, what's really changed? You know, the horses and the pictures look very, very similar. You know, the fashions have changed, the hats and the coats and all that. But at the end of it, the essence of it, it's people trying to do the best thing, the best job they can with whatever horses they have to work with.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to take a walk up to the attic in that old house, which is now the office on Country Life Farm, with your brother Josh, and had a chance to see some of those things that you're referring to, some of those letters, some of those books that he has dug out of the basement. And it is really something special to see. And really can't thank you, Mike, and your brother, Josh, enough for all your support and for joining us on the program here today. It's been a lot of fun to visit with you. Please say hello to Christy and to Sally Ellen for us. And thanks to her for setting everything up with this interview, and all the best moving forward. And we'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Hey, great. Well, I hope you'll be in town for the Preakness.
We will be there, my friend.
Which we'll be here before we know it. So anyway, that's always a great time. I mean, I blink my eyes, and, you know, the grass is almost ready to turn. You know, it'll be fluorescent, almost iridescent green. I remember looking forward to seeing spring come back again.
Sounds good, my friend. We'll see you up there.
Thank you.
All right, Mike Pons, Country Life Farm. What a job they do. You can visit countrylifefarm.com to learn more about the stallions and about their operation. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, Mike is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at embracetherace.com. We'll get to another break. We'll come back, get you set for a busy second half of the show. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Breeders can't get enough of the quality first foals by Grade 1 winning sire Cupid, a son of the influential three-time leading sire Tappet out of the ultra-successful broodmare Pretty and Smart. His high-class pedigree, along with stunning looks, culminated into a $900,000 purchase as a yearling. Cupid went on to become one of the best three-year-olds of his class, with earnings of over $1.7 million. Cupid boasts the complete package, a top pedigree, smashing looks, and a race record to match. Call the Coolmore team today to get your spot with this hot stallion before they're filled.
Racing at Gulfstream.
Racing at Gulfstream Park is heating up with world-class horse racing during our championship meet every Wednesday through Sunday until March 30th. Catch top-class graded stakes action and great wagering opportunities every week. And be sure to get your tickets now for the $1 million ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 30th. For our full racing schedule and to learn more about upcoming events, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pinot Stud.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizu with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Palace, City Zip's fastest son and his only multiple grade one winner at stud.
And here's the wire. It's Palace, the winner. And Palace dazzles here.
Palace's first crop have been popular at the sales and are now creating a buzz in Florida as two-year-olds. Look for them selling this spring at OBS and Basic Tipton Gulfstream. Palace, standing at Spendthrift Farm. Eligible for the Safe Bet Program in 2019. Call Spendthrift today to learn more. Eddie Woods is a perennial leading consigner, having sold multiple Great Estates winners, including 26 Grade 1 winners and four champions.
Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses.
Left Bank has won. Midnight Loop could not have been more impressive.
Spring in the air takes the Darley Alcibiades.
A passion for hard work that produces big-time results. Find your next winner at the Eddie Woods Consignment. Visit eddiewoods.com.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Some like it. Hot Brown is full of run. He's going to go to the rail run now. Three quarters, 113-1, and they turn on down in the 38th running of the John Battaglia Memorial. And Some Like It, Hot Brown, the favorite, got through along the fence. Dynamic Racer running a big one. The Mackin Bullet is running up to the outside. Here comes Dabo with a 16th of a mile left to go. It's Some Like It, Hot Brown, drawing away. Some Like It, Hot Brown, brilliant in the Battaglia. He wins by better than four. Long Shot Dynamic Racer ran a big one to be second. Dabo comes flying on the scene late in a photo for the Shoto with a Mackin Bullet in 145-4.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on HRRN. Baron and Pontiff, that's Mike Penna and Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Some Like It, Hot Brown, winner of the John Battaglia Memorial in his three-year-old debut on February 15th. He won that race easily by 3.5 lengths. He'll face some of those same runners again this afternoon in the Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway, the son of Big Brown, looking to follow in his dad's footsteps and move on to Louisville and hopefully be successful there. But he has to get past the Jeff Ruby Stakes first. And Jude, he's 8-5 on the morning line. And in just a few minutes, coming up shortly after 9 Eastern, we're going to visit with Harvey Diamond of Sky High Racing, part owner in Some Like It, Hot Brown.
Yeah, a very talented three-year-old colt, and he's by Big Brown, a horse that you and I liked from the first time we saw him.
Yeah.
And went on to do great things. So certainly has a big chance, won the Battaglia relatively easily, and it's going to be great to talk to Sky Chai Racing's principal and find out who actually named this horse, because I think it's one of the most clever names I've ever seen, by Big Brown out of Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Right? And Some Like It, Hot, obviously a Marilyn Monroe movie, and then Big Brown and Hot Brown.
Hot Brown.
All
yeah.
Kentucky all the time. Best ones are at Ramsey's, in my opinion.
A lot of people would say that. A lot of people say that. By the way, a quick reminder before we get to this second half of the show. Santa Anita, although they are not racing, and that racing suspended or canceled indefinitely until they get the track set, they are still open for simulcast in the paddock room and in Front Runner Restaurant. The Front Runner going to have a limited menu, but free admission and parking. Gates open at 10 a.m., so don't forget that you can still attend Santa Anita for all the simulcast action, the paddock room, and the Front Runner restaurant. So I don't want people to forget about that. They are not, the facility is not closed. They're just not racing.
Yeah. Well, those are two really beautiful areas, and the Front Runner restaurant has tremendous food. I don't know what the limited menu means, but it's going to be delicious either way.
How do you like your HRN, JT? Do you like it on podcast? Do you like it on streaming? Do you like it live on SiriusXM?
Oh,
like
live.
Live.
Absolutely
on affiliates?
Live.
You just like being alive on the show.
Yeah, I just like being alive, period. I was thinking about that today as I was driving to the studio. You know, life's very fragile. You're here one day, gone the next. So, yeah, I like everything live.
The, really. The reason I asked that question is because we are getting to know HRN Nation a little better. So help us get to know you by taking just a couple of minutes to click through our listener survey on our website, horseracingradio.net. There's a banner right at the top of the page, right before you start scrolling through the archive podcast of all of our shows. And just click on that. It's real quick. It's easy. It's all anonymous. We don't even ask you for an email. Just go ahead and just blast right through and let us know how you like your HRRN. How do you like to listen? You know, how many times do you attend the races? Little things like that. And help us get to know the HRN nation out there all over the world.
Vote for me.
I don't think that, you know what? There's a comment section, though. Ooh, that could get interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe not want to read that.
That could get, keep your head down. That could get very interesting. Also, by the way, when you're on the site, the blog section, check that out too. Some new blogs posted up there. We're going to pause 10 seconds. Stay Shine Edification. This is HRN.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enable and Frankie Dettori. The ARC winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too. It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Monoboy Girl at 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Bizou. Monoboy Girl has won the distance. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Rolling on. Busy morning, and we covered a lot of ground in the first half of the program. Going to continue to bring you more Derby conversation in the second half of the show. Also going to talk more in depth about the situation with the racetrack at Santa Anita, as we'll be joined toward the end of the program by Mike Willman, who is the Director of Publicity at the Great Race Place. He'll be with us right around 9:40 Eastern time. Harvey Diamond from Sky High Racing, part owner in Some Like It Hot Brown, the favorite in today's Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway, going to be with us momentarily. And then Mike Trombetta, kind of sandwiched in between those two, right in the middle of the second hour, 9:20 Eastern. He'll talk about his Tampa Bay Derby contender win. And don't forget, if you missed any portion of the show, head back to our website. You can listen to a podcast of this show and all of our programming, horseracingradio.net. Maggie Wolfendale-Morley previewed the Gotham and the Busher Stakes at Aqueduct in the first half of the show. And Mike Ponce from Country Life Farm did a great job laying out the details of their stallion roster. So a lot of things to go back and listen to if you missed any portion. More coming your way over the course of the next hour.
Yeah, well, it's going to be great to talk about the Jeff Ruby Stakes. It's always a fun day in Kentucky. A lot of people go to the races that day, and got a really good stakes lined up here.
Yeah, you know, Turfway Park, even though we don't make that trip anymore to broadcast this particular race because of our contracts with Gulfstream Park and some of the other racetracks that we broadcast from now, but Turfway, kind of the birthplace of the Horse Racing Radio Network. When we started the network 15 years ago, when I first started on radio back in 2003, I was going up there, and Jude, you made some trips up there with Pete Coolis and I, and we would do the show from Turfway Park, and we would broadcast Kentucky Cup Day. We would broadcast what was then, I believe they were calling it Lane's End Spiral Stakes, which is now Jeff Ruby Stakes, and we would broadcast from there, and that's where really everything kind of got started, and it just developed into what is now the leading horse racing radio network in the sport.
Yeah, it's really a nice day of racing, and I remember yep. those days we'd be up there. Of course, it's gone through many different names and ideas over the years, but this Jeff Ruby Stakes thing, spelled like the steak that you might have at a Jeff Ruby's restaurant,
right,
has kind of taken a hold, and it's a good idea. I think they have a big event up there. Jeff Ruby and his restaurant crew are always up there, so it's a great race and a historic race. Animal Kingdom came out of this race to win the Kentucky Derby. So
Little E.T.
Yeah, that goes way back.
Yeah, Yeah. Pat Day and Little E.T.
Are you old enough to remember Little E.T.?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, well, come on. Yeah, I'm almost 50, man.
Wow.
I know. I thought about that the other day. Well, Harvey Diamond is with us. Don't want to make him wait anymore. He is with us to kick off the second half of the show. Harvey, the principal of Sky High Racing, part owners in Some Like It Hot Brown, the 8-5 morning line favorite in that Jeff Ruby Stakes. And he was very impressive winning the Battaglia. We'll see if he can double up and take home top prize in the Jeff Ruby. Harvey, welcome to the program, my friend. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, happy to have you on board and looking forward to seeing Some Like It Hop Brown do his thing this afternoon.
Yes, hopefully he'll run his race. He's been pretty consistent the last several, so let's open the gate and see what happens.
Jude and I were talking as we were wrapping up the first half of the program, and I started to talk about your interview coming up, and Jude said, you know, we have to ask about the name. Where did that name, who was the person that named him? Because that is a brilliant name for this horse.
Well, my partner, Jim Shercliffe, has two daughters, Kathy and Susie, and they're both adults, but when this horse was a foal at Crestwood Farm, they picked out this name. And Susie had named the dam Marilyn Monroe. So you guys probably aren't old enough, but we took the name from the movie. Susie's kind of an old movie buff. We took the movie Some Like It Hot Brown from the 1950s Marilyn Monroe movie that had Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon in it. Some Like It Hot was the name of that movie. And then, of course, the famous Louisville dish that was made by the Brown Hotel called Hot Brown. And put the two names together, the sire is Big Brown.
Yeah, it's just brilliant. It's very Alfred Gwynn Vanderbilt-like.
Oh, that's cool.
And Jude's plenty old enough to remember, trust me.
Yeah, definitely. But I just think it's a brilliant name. It's one of the best horse names I've seen in a long, long time, and congratulations for that.
Well, yeah, thanks. I'll pass that along to the ladies.
Yeah, and he can really, really run. When did you get a sense that you might be sitting on something special with this horse, Harvey?
When he ran that maiden race up at Saratoga, that was the notorious mile and an eighth juvenile maiden.
Yep.
And I really had no idea that he could run before that because the first race we put him in up at Saratoga, he ran on the dirt and the slop and just didn't make a very good showing. And maybe that was just he was immature. But the next race he came out and showed his stuff. And but I should have figured he had something going for him because my trainer wouldn't have taken him from up to Saratoga probably unless he was any good, although he is a New York bred, so we had to run him up there.
Well, makes sense to run a New York bred in New York, obviously. But he came out of that maiden race and has been solid ever since. I mean, every race he shows up, he's a very consistent horse, and that's a big plus when you own one. You want to get those big checks all the time.
It's very nice, and we also greatly appreciate the New York Development Fund. He's part of that, and we draw funds from that institution, and they're going up to Saratoga on April the 1st. He's nominated for two-year-old of the year for the New York State.
Yeah, and I can see why. I mean, so consistent last year. He ran third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf behind Line of Duty, just that huge effort that day, only beaten three-quarters of a length. Then he comes back, wins the John Battaglia on February 15th, and now hoping to add the Jeff Ruby Stakes to his resume. And really, at this point, he wins that race. You're on your way to the Kentucky Derby 50-something days from today. So, Harvey, that's the big prize, but to punch your ticket later this afternoon, that would be a special thing, wouldn't it?
Well, we'll wait and see how he runs. I don't like to speculate and get too far in the future. It's only worth 20 points, and he's yet to prove himself on dirt.
Spend a couple minutes talking about Sky High Racing. Of course, based in Louisville, so getting to the Kentucky Derby, I'm sure, is something that's always been on your bucket list. But talk about how the organization is put together and some of the success that you've had over the years.
We started out in 2007. My partner, Jim Shercliffe, and Sandollar Stable, which is David Koenig and his partners, and just put together a partnership, went out to buy a $30,000 claimer, wound up with a two-year-old from the sales who went on by the name of Cherokee Triangle, went on and won about $300,000, and that was our start. Then we started buying two-year-olds at the sale and got lucky with few of them, got into a couple partnerships with Dr. Hansen up at Turfway Park, bought in on Hansen, won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile 2011, took him to the Kentucky Derby along with several other horses. I think so far our best finish is ninth.
Well, we have to improve on that this year.
Well, if we get there, I was kind of thinking the Turf Triple Crown up at up in New York this summer, but we'll see how things go along, and of course today will be a big determining factor.
Talking with Harvey Diamond, Sky High Racing here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Some Like It Hop Brown, the favorite for Sky High and partners in the Jeff Ruby Stakes coming up later today. Harvey, when you go to the Sky High Racing website, which is skyhighracing.com, and by the way, we're spelling that S-K-Y-C-H-A-I, skyhighracing.com, you can see the profile on all of the different partners. Yours is there, too. And when you read your bio, it says that your father, Victor, used to take you out of school to go to the races when you were a boy. So this is something that's always been kind of in your blood, so to speak.
Well, I was a player before I was a horseman, and I've done a few different things with horses over the years, so I think I've always had it in my blood, and being here in Louisville, it's just it's something I think that you do.
What's behind the unique spelling, S-K-Y-C-H? AI.
Well, it's kind of a play on words also. CHAI is from the Hebrew. It means for light. And so it's just kind of a play on words.
Well, that's cool. You guys are very cerebral.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
He won't be the least bit cerebral if Some Like It Hop Brown can win the Jeff Ruby Stakes. I'm sure that will be a celebratory event, no doubt about it. And Harvey, hopefully we can get a chance to see you in the winner's circle later this afternoon at Turfway Park. I really appreciate the visit here, and like all of our guests who appear on the program, we'll get you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll do that for you, and good luck with Some Like It Hop Brown, not just today, but all the way through the entire year.
Thank you, Jude and Mike, and it's been my pleasure.
Thanks, Harvey. Appreciate it. Harvey Diamond, Sky High Racing, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, you know, when I called him to ask him to join us on the program, he said, you know, he said, I listen to you guys all the time. He said, I typically can't listen live on Saturday mornings, but I like to go back Saturday evenings and over the weekend and catch the podcast of the program. So, Harvey, appreciate you listening. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see if Some Like It Hop Brown can put him on the Derby trail.
I got to quit using that word cerebral, because that's the second time now I've thrown somebody for a loop. Richard Mandela, he said, What does that mean?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, you really tossed him for a loop.
We were at Gainesway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look back at the horses. He went through some of the litany of some of their bigger horses, and when you go to Equibase and you type in Sky High Racing, you see one name prominently, and that's Da Big Hoss. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really cool horse. Winner of the Grade 2 Dixiana. Elkhorn at Keeneland. Took the Calumet Kentucky Cup. Kentucky Turf Cup Stakes at Kentucky Downs. He was a really good horse.
Yeah, he was. He was. And, yeah, they've had some really nice horses over the years. Their stable is pretty cool. I mean, they've had some. How many times did he say he was in the Derby?
He said their best finish was ninth. They've run several horses in there, but so far his best finish is ninth.
Not too many people can say that.
No.
They even ran several horses in the Derby.
We have just a couple of minutes before we have to get to our Blood Horse News update, Jude. But let me ask you about that Jeff Ruby Stakes. I know you've taken a long look at it and handicapped it. And people, by the way, can go back and listen to the podcast of our Weekend Stakes Preview Show presented by Naira Betts, where you and the Big A, Anthony Stabile, go through all the races. And you do that every Friday night from 6 to 7, but we podcast it on our website, too. Some Like It Hot Brown, 8-5. Skywire for Mark Cassie, a horse I know you're high on because we drafted him as part of our Churchill Downs Fantasy League that we're in. Skywire, 3-1 on the morning line. He's a perfect 2-for-2.
Yeah, he's a very talented horse. He's by a Fleet Alex, who, you know, I love a Fleet Alex. Mm-hmm. He's such a cool horse. And standing over at Gainesway Farm. He won super impressively last time out in the slop at Gulfstream. I thought his race was just excellent. So he's 2-for-2. He won sprinting on the all-weather track at Woodbine. Came back and won in the slop at Gulfstream Park, so he's versatile. We're supposed to have 100% chance of rain. And I know everybody says, well, the polytrack's always fast. But it's been my experience that when it rains, the mud horses do well on the polytrack. So I think he's got a lot of things going for him. Including trainer Mark Cassie. He's trained good since he ran. So I think he's going to be tough. He's the horse that Some Like It Hot Brown has to worry about, I believe. And then Windstar's got one in there too, Five-Star General, who's got a couple of victories sandwiched by a couple of sixth-place finishes. So it's kind of an interesting set of form there. But he had kind of a rough trip in the Sam Davis and was wide, so I think he could maybe do a little rebounding here. But it's a very good race. Going to be a lot of fun to watch, and the mile and an eighth will separate a lot of horses.
Yeah, big field. The Grade 3 Jeff Ruby comes up at 6:37 Eastern time. Of course, 3:37 for those of you tuning in on the West Coast, so make sure you take a look at that one. Race 11 on that program at Turfway Park later this afternoon. Coming up next, we're going to turn our attention to the Tampa Bay Derby, and we'll visit with trainer Mike Trombetta, who sends out win, 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 looking to do just that when he goes to the post there in Florida later this afternoon. But before we get to that point, it is time now for your Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Well, here's one for you. Santa Anita reopens training, the training track for light training. Santa Anita Park reopened its training track for light training yesterday, March 8th. The executive director of the California Thoroughbred Trainers, Alan Balk, said that yesterday. And after a meeting between Santa Anita management and the CTT on March 7th, Balk said it was decided the training track would open from 5 to 11:30 a.m. Friday, but only for galloping and jogging. There will be 3 renovation breaks. 2-year-olds will be allowed on the surface from 10 to 11 a.m., and ponying will be allowed after 11 a.m. Under normal circumstances, the training track is open from 4:45 to 10 a.m., so they're going to keep it open a bit longer. And again, they continue to kind of find their way through this mess and try to solve the problems that they've had at Santa Anita over the past couple of months. And we're going to talk with Mike Willman coming up at 9:40 Eastern for more information on that. Don't forget, with Blood Horse, there is no better way to follow racing, breeding, industry news, and even more. It's all there for you at Blood Horse. There are so many platforms in which they bring it to you. Their website, bloodhorse.com, the Blood Horse Daily app, Blood Horse Magazine, and their social media. To learn more, simply go to bloodhorse.com. And we're back to visit with trainer Mike Trombetta next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 and 3 quarter length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Here comes Win Win Win, being carried extremely wide for the drive. Meanwhile, Over Deliver with a ground-saving trip, and they cut for the wire. Over Deliver and Fergo Lynch, and from the outside, Win Win Win. And now Win 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 puts them away and does it so impressively. It's Win 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 in front and going away very sharp in the Pasco. Will be about 7 or 8 lengths to the good. Over Deliver second, Cave Run disappoints to be third. War Bridle was fourth, and the running time on the board, a snappy 120.89, and that is a new stakes record as well as track record for Win Win Win.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Richard Grunder with the call of the Pasco Stakes at Tampa Bay Downs on January 19th. Win, 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 doing just that. He's become accustomed to finding himself in the winner's circle after these big races. He takes the Pasco. You heard about the track record and stakes record performance from Richard Grunder at the end of that call. Win, win, win. Now 3-for-4 lifetime, and he's hoping to bring trainer Mike Trombetta back to the Kentucky Derby again. He was there with Sweet Northern Saint in 2006, and maybe win, win, win can be another one for him this year. But he has to get past the Tampa Bay Derby later this afternoon. He's 5-2 on the morning line, and we're joined now by Mike Trombetta here on HRRN. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Let's start by looking back on that performance in the Pasco. It was one of those wow performances, at least for us it was. Boy, what an effort.
Yeah, no, he showed up in a big way that day, and it made for a pretty nice afternoon.
Yeah, those are the afternoons you like to have every Saturday afternoon, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, good effort. Now he'll stretch out. That was 7 furlongs. This will be his first time going a distance of ground and going around 2 turns. What are you seeing from him since that Pasco that gives you the confidence that he'll handle the assignment?
Well, you know, he's training well, and we've worked him numerous times, and we've given him a nice stretch of time into this race. And, you know, he's trained the way that you would like to see a horse train, and he's doing it on the track he has to run on, which is a luxury that soon goes away, you know, because you're all over the place. But, you know, he's done what he's supposed to.
Yeah, his works since his last race have been sparkling, and it's got to give you a lot of confidence to have Sunday Silence on the top and Smarty Jones on the bottom. That's a pedigree that a lot of horses would love to have.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that classic type pedigree, you know, horses that can do the mile and a quarter and stuff. So, you know, they all have to find their way and go on to the next stage as far as distance goes. But, you know, I'm feeling fairly confident that he should get along with it just fine.
Yeah, as a trainer, Mike, do you ever really know if they can be as brilliant when they stretch out for the first time as they were sprinting until they actually do it? Or can you have some confidence and say, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to handle it okay?
Well, you know, that's kind of the thing, you know. I mean, you can have that confidence, but you can't rest until you know that they truly can. And until you see it put to use in the afternoon with the competitive field of horses, you know, that's the one test that you can't simulate in the mornings.
You've been a trainer a long time. When was the last time you rested?
Myself?
Yeah.
We never rest, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I know. That I love that comment. You never rest. That you could end there.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's the life of a horse trainer, and Mike Trombetta has done it for a long time, and he's done it at a very high level. Mike, a different jockey today. Julian Pimentel not aboard. You switched to Irad Ortiz Jr. Talk about that decision.
Well, you know, that was just a decision that came about, you know, with the with our connections. And, you know, Julian has done an excellent job for us across the board on everything that he's ever done. But, you know, in this scenario, you know, I don't have to speak for Irad's success. So, you know, that's where we landed for this weekend.
When Mark Cassie joins us on this program, he always raves about Live Oak Plantation and Charlotte Weber and training for that outfit. How about you? Your thoughts on training for them and them being part of your overall team?
Well, you know, I've had the good fortune of working for a lot of great clients over the years. But, you know, this is yet another one of those special relationships. I mean, the horses always come first, and they give you, you know, some really nice stuff to work with. And, you know, the horses are paramount in their organization. I mean, and whatever they need, they get. And you can't ask for anything more.
One of the things I love about your horse is his speed figures continue to improve. And then you see those two bullet works at Tampa. Has he made another move forward since you ran him last time?
Well, you know, we don't know. But, I mean, I looked at the overall schedule, and I decided that it would be in his best interest, you know, to skip over the Sam Davis to give him this little bit of an extra time now. Because, you know, to put all three of those races together would be a big ask of any horse. And, you know, I had to let him train on a little bit, you know, during this time. And he's been very willing and happy to do it.
Mike, I know, obviously, going down this road to the Kentucky Derby, you've been there before. You've gotten there with Sweet Northern Saint. And you have to kind of plot things out, and you hope that you don't have a straw in your path. So if all goes well today with win, 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 looking ahead to the next steps, what would be the likely next spot we would see him before he gets to Louisville?
Well, nothing's planned, you know, as far as being definite. But assuming that he does well, you know, from a timing standpoint, you know, the two logical races would either be at Keeneland or New York in a month's time. So, you know, they're the ones that would make the most sense at a quick glance, but there are other options as well. But we'll see how he does and, you know, how he comes out of the race and then plan from there.
Yeah, one step at a time. Talking with trainer Mike Trombetta here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, I'm going to give you a long overdue apology. Sweet Northern Saint went off as the 5-1 favorite in that 2007 Kentucky Derby. He ended up finishing, seventh that day behind Barbaro and Edgar Prado. My apology is this. I bet on Sweet Northern Saint, so I'm sorry I ruined all chance the minute I went to the window. I know you worked so hard to get him there, and I owe you this apology. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay, but you know how that goes. Being the favorite, that's one race you don't want to be the favorite in.
What do you remember about that day and everything that went into it when you got to the Kentucky Derby?
Well, you know, it's just the whole experience is just something special. And, you know, that particular horse, he had obscure pedigree. And, you know, he came on the scene and, you know, he went from, you know, nobody knowing who he was to everybody knowing who he was in a very short period of time. And it takes you by surprise. And, you know, that's just the nature of it. And, you know, that the season comes about pretty quickly.
A lot of trainers talk about the experience and how much of a learning experience it is. What did you learn from that Derby that you think you could apply to this Derby?
Well, it's just like anything else. If you have a shot to do it, you know, you kind of, you know, you get to experience the whole feel for how it goes. And, you know, you go from nobody really paying any attention to you at all to everybody in the world looking at every little step that you do. And, you know, you got to keep your eye on the prize and do what you know is right for your horse, and you know, just try to get there in the best possible condition that you can have him in.
Mike, I remember Sweet Northern Saint got off to a rough beginning that day. He was 12th early. He made that big run, and turning into the stretch, he was sitting in fourth, and it looked like, okay, here we go. He's going to show that same brilliance that he showed in the Illinois Derby. He's going to draw off in this field. That feeling of turning for home with a shot in the Kentucky Derby, what's that like?
Well, you know, to be a contender in that, it was a great feeling. And then, you know, we had the same feeling in the Preakness. I mean, there was a sure period of time in the Preakness that it looked like he could actually win the race turning for home. And Bernardini came on the scene in a big way, and there wasn't a whole lot that could stop him after that. So, you know, but there was, you know, a lot of excitement about both of the races for us. And, you know, we hope to share in that again.
Well, Mike, I'll let you go here in just a minute, but I told you yesterday when I called you to ask you to join us here on the program that Jude and I were so high on Win, 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 we drafted him as our number one selection in our Churchill Downs Fantasy League that we do with some of the other media members around the country. So I'll ask you this final question. More pressure, trying to get to the Kentucky Derby with this horse or trying to live up to the hype of being our number one pick?
I would say a little bit more with the horse.
Yeah. Well, we did pretty good last year, so you don't have to worry about us not doing well. We did all right.
The last couple of years, we've done it.
Almost won the whole thing.
Vino Rosso. Rosso was our top pick last year. McCracken before that. They turned out to be pretty good. So, Mike, you're in good company, and we wish you all the best with Win, Win, Win today and in the months to come. And hopefully we'll be talking to you at Churchill Downs in a couple of months.
Well, we hope to do our part to keep you on a roll, so thanks very much.
He's as good as it gets. Mike Trombetta here on HRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at embracetherace.com. Mike.com. And because of the success that Mike is having again this year, he is our industry star of the week. And that interview presented to you by Stuart Morris, who, remember, offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He'd like to thank their owners, their clients, and his entire team. Their success is absolutely because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is absolutely your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at many of the major sales, at least on the East Coast here. Check them out, the Stuart Morris consignments, and tell them you heard the industry star of the week right here on HRRN. Jude, what do you think? Win, win, win. Is he going to do that? Is he going to win the Tampa Bay Derby later this afternoon?
Well, I think he's got a really good shot at it. He's been training well, and he's got obviously got a lot of talent. He just set a track and stakes record over Tampa Bay Downs main track. So there's lots of things to like about him. And, you know, the only thing I don't like is the jockey switch.
Oh, my. I can't believe you just said that. I was just going to – you know how I feel about that. You feel the same way. Yeah. Karma, man. Karma.
I don't like it. But
dance with the one that got you there. What's wrong with Julian Pimentel?
Nothing. Absolutely
three
nothing.
Three for four on this horse.
And I think if you know, it might have been an owner decision or, you know – So
yeah, he said it was the decision of the connections. I'm sure they all got together and talked about it. And look, I mean, you can get Irod Ortiz Jr., right? I mean, here's a guy, you know, reigning Eclipse Award winning jockey, is the nation's top jock. I get it. I get the allure there. But to me, Julian Pimentel knows this horse. He's been with this horse from day one. They've had a lot of success. He's ridden him perfectly.
Yeah.
I'm
a big believer
in
rapport. Some jocks have rapport with certain horses.
That's true, right?
Why would you want to go into the biggest race of a horse's life and have a new rider on it? It just doesn't make sense to me. But I'm a loyalist.
You know
I used to
I
hate
say?
Taking guys off of
nothing
bumps.
Good comes of deviation, yeah, right? I live by that motto every time. Look, I mean, you go to a restaurant, I want a steak. I go to whatever restaurant. Look, I go to Tony's. I like steak, right? I order something different. It's never as good. I am just. You got nothing good comes of deviation.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. If I lived by that rule, my life would have been totally different. and I'm pretty happy with the way it turned out. But I just hate to see those kind of changes. I love Irod Ortiz. I think he's the second best jockey in the country to Johnny Velasquez. I think those guys are 1-2. I think he's the heir apparent to, you know, Johnny's spot when Johnny retires. And I watch the guy ride almost every day that he rides. And, he's sensational. And I can understand wanting him on your horse. But when somebody's won 3 out of 4, I would have a hard time taking them off.
All right, coming up next, we're going to turn our attention to the situation at Santa Anita. We'll do that by visiting with their director of publicity, Mike Willman. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Make plans now to attend the 2019 National HBPA Convention, March 12th to the 16th, at the Sheraton Sand Key Resort in Clearwater Beach, Florida. Enjoy panels focusing on critical topics, including equine welfare, the future of our industry with fixed odds, and a panel discussion focused on assessing our industry stats into the future. Plus, a Thoroughbred Idea Foundation panel with Craig Burnick, Jack Wolf, and Corey Johnson. Contact HBPA CEO Eric Hamelback or visit nationalhbpa.com. For more details.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Alter Nation was the second leading second crop Kentucky sire with 5 black type stakes winners, 9 black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners.
Already this year, Alternation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alternation, stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Once again, among the world's leading sires of stakes horses and graded stakes horses, Warfront has sired 8 champions and 8 millionaires. Recent Grade 1 winners include European champion U.S. Navy Flag and Lancaster Bomber, plus an ever-growing list of 2018 graded stakes winners. In the sales ring, his yearlings continue to bring prices well over $1 million. International super sire Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
But it will be Cambier Park to do it. Cambier Park is the big favorite, wins 3 parts of a leg.
Cambier Park, the 3-year-old daughter of Darley stallion Medaglia d'Oro and a $1.25 million Keeneland September yearling, took home the top prize in the Grade 3 Here Comes the Bride Stakes at Gulfstream last Saturday, earning an 86 buyer for trainer Chad Brown and owners OXO Equine. And that winning performance makes Cambier Park your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is the horse with the Midas touch, having produced 7 American Grade 1 winners in a single year, including dual Eclipse champion Songbird, 2-year-old Colt Bolt d'Oro, 3-year-old fillies New Money Honey and Elate and Turf Mare Dickinson, plus 2 Breeders' Cup winners, Talismanic and Bar of Gold. Only Mr. Prospector can match that mark. Medagliarize your mare this spring with Medaglia d'Oro. Learn more at DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They come for home. Ali Sheba, Ferdinand on the outside. Judge Angelucci, Super Diamond at the eighth pole. Ferdinand and Ali Sheba. What a race this is. Just what the fans wanted. Ferdinand and Ali Sheba. Ali Sheba's holding on at the rail. Ali Sheba and Chris McCarron win the big cup.
How about that call? A young Trevor Denman with the 1988 Santa Anita Handicap, the big cap. Ali Sheba, Ferdinand. Wow, what a showdown. And Ali Sheba getting to the wire first. Today, the day we are supposed to be celebrating Big Cap Day at Santa Anita, but not going to happen because of the situation with the racetrack, and that has been well publicized over the course of the past couple of weeks. And to help us figure out maybe the next steps and how things can be resolved and how quickly that might happen, we are joined now by the director of publicity at the Great Race Place, Mike Willman. Mike, welcome to the show, and thanks for getting up early with us.
Good morning. We've been up early for a long time now.
Yeah, are you sleeping at all out there?
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, it's really been something. But the good news is we're back on the training track. The weather is better, and we've got Dennis Moore, back in the fold, and that's just great news for all of us. And I'm very confident that we're going to get this rectified in hopefully fairly short order, and we'll have some good news to be passing along in the next day or two.
Have we received any answers at all, Mike, as to what could have been the possible cause of what's been happening out there?
Well, just continuously the leading indicator seems to be all the rain in a short period of time. And Jude can tell you at Santa Anita, when we do get a lot of rain, things that they get very, very, very challenging. And it just seems like that's the leading indicator. We've had it's not just one outfit. It's a lot of different trainers, all different categories of horses and so on. But the leading indicator is all the rain, and what we have to try to do to stay in front of it from a track maintenance standpoint.
Yeah, it is very difficult sometimes to navigate training on off tracks at Santa Anita, and they seal the track, which is great for the racing surface and get the water off of it as fast as possible. But then sometimes it creates hardness issues, and there's so many facets to it. It's not any one thing, I think, that you can point your finger to and say, we can't do
100%.
That anymore. There's a lot of different things.
Here's the other thing, Jude. The soils change. They absolutely change. And anybody that's in road construction or that builds, you know, things that go up two or three stories, they can tell you about strict regulations, compaction, and, you know, in our case, the problem is getting a too high of a percentage of clay in the soil. And, you know, there's three components to it, silt, clay, and sand. And the silt and sand, they tend to run off. And you have to constantly be trying to monitor things and then amend the soil as needed with sand to try and keep it in balance. Because if that clay sets up, it's not going to set up in a uniform fashion. You might get hard spots and so on. So it's a real challenge. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and there's 10,000 different kinds of sands, too. You know,
that's,
I mean,
right.
There's so many different components. It's a, you know, it's a unique mixture, and you have to get that right. So,
Jude, here's what I'm saying. I literally have done, you know, dozens of interviews. I mean, on all platforms, I really have. Here's what I tell people: if you're running a racetrack, there's two people you really need, and I mean these are key folks: your starter and your track man. And they'll keep a lot of waves out of your individual lagoon because they put fires out before they start. They've got the credibility. It's a big, big assignment, both of those jobs, especially when you're talking about an A racetrack. When you're talking about high-profile jockeys, trainers, owners, a proactive racing commission, and all that goes with it, the whole political potpourri, you better have those guys in place.
Yeah, and you referenced the name Dennis Moore earlier, a longtime track man who is now back as a consultant trying to work through these issues with the team at Santa Anita. Mike, why is he such an integral part of getting past this and getting this situation rectified?
He's got the gravitas. He is the man. I mean, he is the top guy in California. You know, he has been doing this 46 years. Now, some guys... I can remember going to umpire school, and John McSherry got on this guy. He's from San Diego. And the guy says, I've been doing it this way for 12 years, and McSherry told him, and you suck for 12 years. And that's the absolute truth. Just because you've been around 100 years, that doesn't mean, you know, you're any good. But in this case, Dennis has. His dad did the same thing. He's got a brother, Ron, that was a track superintendent. He's lived it, breathed it, ate it. He knows what he's doing. Ask Joe Harper at Del Mar. And here at Santa Anita, he was our guy when Hollywood Park went away. He came on board at the end of 2013. He was our track superintendent, you know, before he opted to retire at the end of last year. New Year's Eve day was his last day. He's very graciously agreed to come back as a consultant. I don't know what is looking forward, what his more permanent status is going to be. But he's on the ground now, and he's leading this team, and there's no doubt in my mind he's going to get it right.
So where do things stand now, Mike? Take us through where we are currently and where we could be 2-3 weeks up the road here.
Well, where we are currently is certainly from a public perception standpoint, hey, we've taken a step back, a huge step back, you know, and I've told every news outlet on earth that the economic considerations are not a consideration. They don't exist, okay? That comes from Belinda Stronach on down. The top priority is equine and human safety, jockey, exercise people, and these horses. So, I mean, we've got to take our time. Dennis has got to get his head around this entire situation, and then I'll give you all a scoop. What I'm suggesting this morning is we got to figure out a date and time, get a presser together, and have Dennis there, have Mick Peterson there, and whoever else we decide upon, and we go ahead and meet the media, and we announce a date that we're going to return to the main track for training, and then a date that if everything goes well and everybody's satisfied with things, a date that we return to live racing. There's got to be a course of action, but we're not there yet. I mean, Dennis and Mick Peterson, who's out here from the University of Kentucky, they're still gathering data, and they're gonna have to tell us what they think. But we're getting closer to that, but we're not there yet.
I know I read that Los Alamitos had offered to pick up some of the dates from Santa Anita and run at Los Al. Any chance that happens?
I would say, you know, at this point, unless they find something, unless the recommendation is made to continue to shut this racetrack down for an extended period of time, I don't see that happening, Mike.
Well, hopefully they can get all the information they need and start working on it, and it won't last longer than a couple of weeks.
Well, as far as these stakes today go, I mean, the only one with a very finite shelf life, and you guys know it, it's the San Felipe.
Yep.
It looks like everybody's out of Dodge. Baffert's, he's going to the Rebel with Game Winner and Improbable, and you know, so that one, you know, I we're going to have a hard time running that race. So I'll just put it to you that way, very diplomatically. The other races, I see no problem in rescheduling the Santa Anita Handicap, the Kilroy Mile, and the San Carlos.
Yeah, Mike Willman with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Director of Publicity at Santa Anita. And as you can hear in his voice, it has been a very trying time for him and for the entire team as they continue to work through the issues that they're having with the main track. And hopefully within the next few weeks, they will take their time, they'll get it right, and we'll be back up for business and things will be moving forward again. Mike, the other thing we touched on at the top of the show, Breeders' Cup going to be held at Santa Anita this year. Has there been any conversation with the folks at Breeders' Cup yet as to what a contingency plan might be if we need to go that direction?
Well, I mean, the Breeders' Cup is on, you guys. There'll be absolutely no problem with the Breeders' Cup. You know, that's to me not a concern at all. And I know
good.
The Breeders' Cup folks, they're the entire industry is concerned about the problems we've had. But we're going to get this right in short order, and the Breeders' Cup will be full on. Looking forward to it.
Well, Mike, it sounds like you're doing, you and the team, doing everything you possibly can to get this right, and we know you will. And, you know, anything that we can do from a network standpoint to help you spread the word about all the good work you're doing and the precautions you're taking, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We're here, and really appreciate you taking a few minutes to fill us in on everything this morning.
Right, and just, guys, here's the absolute most important thing. When we do get back, now we're back on the training track, when we do get back in the morning and the afternoon, we've got to have clean racing. That will just make everything get better in a hurry.
Yep.
But that is the absolute paramount objective.
Yeah, well, we'll see if it all comes together sooner rather than later. But, yeah, well said, Mike. And, again, appreciate the visit here this morning. Go enjoy the rest of your day. And anything we can do to help, please let us know.
Okay, guys. All the best. Thanks.
All right. Mike Willman, Director of Publicity, Santa Anita. Yeah, you can just hear it in his voice. Mike's usually a very jovial guy, right? He's very upbeat. And he's just like everybody else. I mean, he's just disgruntled with the entire situation. And, really, it wears you out.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I trained through a period like that at Santa Anita for a while. We were doing very unique things to just try to keep the horses on the ground. Bobby Frankel was shed rowing his horses every day, mm-hmm. and then started jogging them a little bit. And they hadn't worked in weeks because of the weather. And then he worked everything 7 furlongs, and he won like 14 races in about a 2 week period.
Yeah,
you know, but he had a plan in mind, and sometimes you have to do some strange things. The weather out there can be very devastating. I don't think anybody realizes California does not operate well in bad weather. People don't know what to do.
Yep,
and so it's. It's a tough thing, and I sympathize with them tremendously. I've talked to a few trainers, and you know, everybody's just grasping at straws right now.
Yeah, and Mike emphasized this, and we'll do it again. It's a horse first approach to getting this right. The horses come first, and,
always,
and everything that they're going to do and everything they are doing currently revolves around making sure that the horses are going to be safe and everything was going to be back on track and going without issues when they do return to racing at some point here over the next few weeks, hopefully. Real quick, before we get to this final break, and we have to get there quickly, but Jude, news coming out yesterday, speaking of Santa Anita, that Scott Stevens, the brother of Hall of Famer Gary Stevens, natives of Idaho, he was going to be presented with the prestigious George Wolfe Memorial Jockey Award here in 2019. He and his brother Gary, who won it in 1996, become the first pair of brothers to win the award since the award's inception in 1950. So congratulations to Scott Stevens.
Yeah, great rider, good fella, has been plying his trade for a long time. And if you ask Gary Stevens, he'll tell you his brother Scott's a better rider than he is.
Yeah, he says it all the time. I don't know if I believe that, but he says it all the time.
Yeah, it might be true.
Yeah? All right. Well, there you have it. All right, we're going to get to one final break. We'll come back and tell you what's ahead on the network, and we'll wrap this one up. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Power. Carrick Condi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard Nuzla Canarias is fighting back. Carrick Condi has won.
Passion.
All the way towards the line. It's Carrick Condi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrick Condi with a rush on the outside goes Bantam. Lead run from Adam Dahl. Carrick Condi, Adam Dahl. Carrick Condi.
Carrick Condi, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Carrick Condi recorded three Grade 1 victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Carrick Condi recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. First crop yearlings by Carrick Condi sold for up to $220,000, with seven yearlings bringing over $100,000. Look for his two-year-old selling at the OBS March sale and Goff's Doncaster. Carrick Condi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby? Experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton. That's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Louisville's True by Hilton.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at 2, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best Grade 1 mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Breeders can't get enough of the quality first foals by Grade 1 winning sire Cupid. A son of the influential three-time leading sire Tappet out of the ultra-successful broodmare Pretty and Smart, his high-class pedigree along with stunning looks culminated into a $900,000 purchase as a yearling. Cupid went on to become one of the best three-year-olds of his class with earnings of over $1.7 million. Cupid boasts the complete package, a top pedigree, smashing looks, and a race record to match. Call the Coolmore team today to get your spot with this hot stallion before they're filled.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Back to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Been a busy show, covered a lot of ground. Our thanks to Maggie Wolfendale Morley for joining us in the first half of the show to talk about the big races in New York later this afternoon. Mike Pons from Country Life Farm in Maryland with our Stallion Spotlight segment. Harvey Diamond, Sky High Racing, some like it, Hop Brown, the likely favorite in today's Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway. Mike Trombetta joined us to talk about Win, Win, Win in the Tampa Bay Derby. And then Mike Willman just a short time ago from Santa Anita. Busy program, JT, and no racing coverage this afternoon, but we are looking forward to our next one, which is the Florida Derby at Gulfstream on March 30th. Going to be a good one.
Yeah, can't wait to get there.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And don't forget, you can join us all week long for all of our programming, beginning on Tuesday night with Jock Talk going all the way through. The Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on Friday. And, of course, Express Bet Radio, the call-in show on Thursday nights, and Trainer Talk every Wednesday. Visit horseracingradio.net for a complete schedule and check us out on social media at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Now, for Lee Delapina, our producer, for Sean Feld, Sean C., handling our social media, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.